Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Roni.
And Colleen Roni.
And no Rumpelstiltskin.
No. Not here, anyway.
Oh, well, we have a princess.
We do.
You.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not a prince. But anyway, so thank you for joining us again. But it's been a fantastic week. Not only are we in iTunes, but we were new and noteworthy on iTunes this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was incredible.
Yeah.
And I can only thank the listeners for that, and because I think iTunes does look at the downloads and interest and all that.
Downloads, interest, and I think to the ratings. That's another thing. So we've gotten some really good ratings so far, and that's really appreciated.
We need some more ratings on iTunes. That would be great.
Sure.
And, you know, if you throw us a little 5-star in there, that'll be great too. I hate to beat a dead horse, but a guy I learned from, he said, people don't read your mind, and you're going to have to ask. So
that's a very smart man.
It's true. So anyway, another great episode.
Yeah.
And it's called The Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just kind of do a brief little synopsis about the episode, and we'll dive in.
This episode is about Prince Charming, or Prince James, as he's called, and his backstory, which tells us that he was actually not born royal. He was adopted royal. And we get to see how he ended up almost married to Abigail, the daughter of King Midas. And that's really what it is. It also then showed on the real world side the relationship between David and Mary Margaret, and how they got so close to basically running away together. And then through funny little circumstances, he gets his memory back and decides to go back to his wife. So that's pretty much the gist of the show. Would you agree?
Yeah, then we just had a little bit of Sheriff Graham and Emma there at the end. A little tiny bit.
That's just a nice little reveal, a little tidbit. And I think that even almost prefaces a little bit of what may be coming up in a future episode.
I definitely agree.
So.
Excellent. So what we're going to do is it's going to be a bit of a hodgepodge of different things. We are going to talk about some Easter eggs and little things that we saw. But I want to jump into one of the huge thematic parts of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the episode was called The Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lost fan will go, wait a minute, isn't Jack? Well, possibly. But I believe the story really alluded a lot to David in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the shepherd. We have a shepherd boy.
Right.
And we have an older brother doing some warfare.
He wasn't older. They were twins.
Okay, twins.
Identical twins.
Okay. So we have a situation where the twin brother was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to go in the Rumpelstiltskin. I don't want to talk about the story. But he was plucked out of the farm, out of his sheep herding duties, to go get rid of this dragon, this menace. And if you look at the story of David, it's kind of a very similar situation, is that the Saul and the Israeli army were just pestered by this Goliath guy, this huge giant. And the Philistines just, they dogged the Israeli army for a long time. And so the army of Israel was kind of waiting there. But this Goliath was really, really bugging him. And so David was bringing food back and forth to the brothers, who were in the army. And so David heard Goliath yelling all this stuff. And so he went down and he said, who is this guy? I'm going to face this guy. And so he faced Goliath, cut off his head, and as a form of a proof. And so just in saying that there were so many correlations to this mm-hmm. story.
Yeah.
So what I thought was one of the coolest things was one of the things about David is King Saul was basically telling him when David ran in and said, look, I want to face Goliath. I can do it. I can take him. And Saul's going, now, wait a minute. He's been a warrior since he was a young boy, and you're a shepherd boy, and I appreciate that you're all, you know, worked up and you want to help us out, but I think he's going to wipe you out. And David started talking about how he faced bears and lions and how he could protect the sheep. And he said he took out a bear, he yanked him by the beard mm-hmm. and knocked him out. Mm-hmm. And so let's flip back to once upon a time. It was a similar thing I remember that we saw James, right? Mm-hmm. James look at a little kind of cleft in the rock, and he basically ran into it, and then the dragon got stuck. And I was thinking, you know, it was almost an amazing thing that he would know that, but actually as a sheep herder, he would know all the different places where he was. And so if he had a run-in with some, like a lion or a wolf or something like that, he could protect the sheep. So that really, to me, when the dragon got caught, I went, man, that's a sheep herder right there. He knows the surroundings. He knows how to stay safe and also take care of the sheep. So,
right. No, I was going to say, I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, he would know how to protect his sheep better than anybody because that's what he did. And the funny thing is I started thinking about, you know, his brother was the warrior. He was really more of a protector, but not a fighter. I'm sure he had to fight to protect his sheep, you know, and protect his mom and stuff. But I think he was more of that gentle, more thinking spirit, and where his brother was pure bravery and bravado and warrior and, you know, that kind of a guy.
Well, and what was interesting, though, is the whole thing about his brother kind of making that comment when he played dead. He feigned like he was dead. Mm-hmm. And then he stabbed the big brute warrior guy.
Right.
And but then he didn't even heed his own advice.
No, he was almost cocky.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's right. Where David was much more humble. He was very content and happy to play with his little sheep, and he had fun with them, and you know that he was perfectly content on his farm. He wasn't looking for anything more, and it just kind of fell to him, I think. It's another picture, if you ask me, of the reluctant hero. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask to be.
True.
You know, didn't. He had no clue that his brother was the prince.
Yeah. So, but that was the one thing that just was kind of screaming out that whole kind of a story. I said, okay, shepherd boy, mm-hmm. dragon slayer, could be a giant slayer, producing the head of the dragon to the king as proof. So there was all these different things.
Right. Which, there are a lot of the similar themes, like, and we've mentioned this before, that a lot of fairy tales, a lot of stories, legends in, you know, throughout the world, but certainly the ones we know, they all have some little pieces where you can trace it back to biblical, you know, stories. Mm-hmm. If you've read the Bible for the stories, especially the Old Testament, there are some pretty amazing things in there. And you see, oh, that reminds me of blah, blah, blah fairy tale, right. That kind of a thing. So
I also was thinking about Jacob and Esau when Jacob wanted he played Esau to the father that couldn't see that well to get the birthright and get blessing. So
right.
It was that whole brother thing. And also in Star Wars, there's the twins.
The twins.
And
there's the little bit of that. I get that. But the other thing is that there's a fairy tale, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it is, or I'm going to have to do some research. But there's a fairy tale, I'm pretty sure, where a twin or a lookalike is called into the place. Now, it kind of a little bit reminds me of The Prince and the Pauper. But in The Prince and the Pauper, the prince meets a very poor boy, and they trade clothes. And then everyone assumes, because they look so much alike, that the prince is really the pauper and vice versa. So there wasn't like a trading of roles. It was like this one kind of was the... He was the replacement.
Mm-hmm.
The replacement kid. And it's just, for some reason, it's driving me nuts. But there is a fairy tale that deals with this, I'm sure. And maybe one of our listeners knows and just says, oh, yeah, it's da-da-da-da. So let us know if you know.
I also wanted to talk about the approach to the Dragon's Lair. It was almost kind of a classic classroom, scary movie situation where someone is getting nearer a place that has a monster or something that needs to be fought. And then you have these burnt bodies from right. the other people that
charred
have,
remains. Right.
You know what else it reminds me of is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
When they went into that temple to get that.
Well, all the Raiders movies, actually. Well,
okay. Right. Right. But especially the first one with the rolling boulder.
Right. Right.
Is you've got, you know, that was Forrestal and, you know, that kind of thing. Right. I mean, there wasn't a lot of them, but it was just that kind of a thing where, you know, you see the people that have gone before. Goonies had that.
Goonies
as well.
Had it. Shrek even had
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's yeah. kind of, it's typical.
Like I said, it was a classic kind of.
Very textbook.
The closer you get to the bad guy or the dragon or whatever, you see who's come before and died. Okay, wow, that guy's dead. And you know, this one, they had burning. You know,
and that's what killed me. I was like, wait, so they knew they were going to be sending these guys to go kill this dragon. So why did these other fools go up there right before they did? Because there was stuff still burning. And I'm sorry, but you know what? Once the fire, it would have either charred everything around it or it would have died out a while ago if they had. So it's kind of like they went up right before. You know what I mean? Like the day before. It's kind of funny, but they knew that they were going to be sending these guys up there, and I was going, what are these fools that are, you know, laying around doing?
Well, you know, maybe it's kind of funny, but maybe the dragon kind of knew they were coming, and these started, let's maybe. Light the body back on fire. You know, I don't know, to kind of prepare this thing. Anyway.
I'm not thinking. But so, it's a funny little thought.
Right. But, but yeah, I was telling you, if it was a samurai story, there would be other little minions along the way that they would have to kind of destroy. But we didn't have that kind of time, so it was just, nope.
Yeah,
one dragon, that's it. There it is.
But
boom.
But what cracked me up is, okay, Mr. Leader Man, he goes in there, and he comes out, and his feet are on fire.
Right.
I just think, I mean, I'm sorry, I felt bad for him, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, you're such a good fighter that your feet end up on fire.
Well, he got a hot foot, so that's really the thing.
Yeah, well, and then what cracked me up is then the other thing is I was going, these guys are supposed to be the bravest of the you know, James's dad, new adoptive father, the king's army or whatever, and the four of them go inside the cave, only one comes back
right
with his feet on fire. The other two guys that were standing outside with James goes bravely. They try to stop him from saving their, you know, leader. And then the dragon comes out and they just stand there and stare into space. Did you catch that?
Right.
Because when he pulled him to safety by the rock and he goes, stay here. Then the dragon comes down like, you know, like dive bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And lights those two fools on fire. The two that were just standing in the middle of the road. I'm going, really? A dragon's like coming down and you're just going to stand there?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just made me laugh. I was like, oh, I get why they had to do it to be able to, you know, position him in the right place. But wow.
Well, okay. So when you watch it again, and I hope you watch this episode again, is notice that. So this shepherd boy runs or fights out and runs to go meet this dragon with no sword, no anything.
Right.
And again,
but he wasn't trying to fight the dragon though.
But
he was trying to rescue the guys. Right. Remember, that's his protecting,
right.
That's his shepherding instincts. He shepherds his sheep.
So
he went to go save them. They were screaming, help, help, help. And he goes, they need our help. They need our help. And that's what he was doing. Because he had no sword. Why was he wasn't going to fight, but he was not thinking of his own safety is what I'm saying. that's, again, a total classic thing because, you know, you're right. I think his brother would have gone in full mm-hmm. force with the sword trying to kill the dragon. Forget rescuing these other yahoos. Let me go kill this dragon because that's what I'm here to do. But see, he's got that shepherd's heart that really wants to protect and make sure everyone's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and what was funny is, you know, he wasn't the bravest soul in the world, according to the guy, because his twin was braver. But he drug, you know, the big gun out of there. You know right. what I mean? That was interesting.
The puny little shepherd boy, mm-hmm. not that he was puny, but the lowly shepherd boy is the one who rescued the leader of the whole operation, who was like originally going, you're just going to say that you did this, but we're the ones who are going to actually do the work.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
One more quick thing. There is a story in the Bible about a shepherd leaving the 99 sheep to go find the one. And that's what I believe we saw. Obviously, he's bringing back one sheep that probably got away. Now, there's not 99 there, but right. he was going to rescue the one.
Yeah, he was going to rescue whoever he could get. And I right. know that, you know, obviously the one is the only one that came out.
Right.
He knew he couldn't get the other three that went in there with him. I'm sure he knew it because, I mean, there was so much fire.
No. Hold on. I was talking about the actual sheep back when he was at home.
Oh, you're talking
about early on. Yeah. Well, sorry.
Kind of the same thing, though. I mean, okay. It's a parallel.
All right.
You're right. Think about it. So before he even goes to meet the, you know, before he even knows he's even got a brother to begin with, he chases after the one sheep. You're right. He goes and gets the one. There were like six of them. But he goes and gets the one, and he brings that one, and he kind of tricks it. Just now dawned on me. He tricked it. He made it go into one direction, knowing that it was going to get trapped. That's what he did with the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cool. So let me see. There's a couple of Star Wars things here, and you mentioned one is that James's mother wore something very plain looking, but it looked like Shmi.
In
episode one and two,
a little bit of two, mostly one though.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
So then I think that Mary Margaret, when she was really washing the heck out of that plate, was wearing a very Princess Leia looking cut of a
blouse.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Rumpelstiltskin said, "There is another."
Oh yeah.
Which it's definitely
very classic.
That's what
Star Wars.
Yoda said when Luke was leaving Dagobah. I am a geek. I admit it. So, but then there was another thing I noticed is one of the I think it was George said, "Leave us," or who? Someone said, "Leave us."
Oh, it was the James's adopted father. It was the prince. It was the king.
George.
Was it George?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch his name. I don't know why I didn't, but normally I do. But King George, apparently, he said, "Leave us,"
right,
to everyone when Rumpelstiltskin showed up.
Yep. And that's what Palpatine said in, I think it was episode three. Anyhow, so I think that was that. And then, you know, we had some lost little connections here.
Oh, huge.
But I'm not going to say those. We have a voicemail.
Oh, we do? Oh, okay.
And I can't remember the order, so we'll hold.
Okay, we'll listen to voicemail now. It's voicemail time.
Okay. And then we'll jump back into the rest. So I don't know who is who, but this is here we go.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff, John Wilkerson here from the StickerCast over at thestickercast.com. I just want to say great job that you're doing with the podcast here for Once Upon a Time. And was just calling to remind you and your listeners that if they're a fan of the show, then they should make sure that they check in to Get Glue over at getglue.com, where they can earn some really cool stickers that have to do with Once Upon a Time. So just a reminder of that. If you're a fan of Once Upon a Time, check out GetGlue.com and some of the other cool stickers that you can earn by checking into Once Upon a Time when you watch it through their service. That's it. Keep up the great work, Jeff and Colleen. You're doing a wonderful job. Bye.
Thanks, John.
Nice.
John is a good friend of ours and a friend of the show. And I completely forgot that he has a wonderful podcast as well. If you have a smartphone, like an iPhone, or I think Android does a similar thing, is that there's an app called Get Glue. Now, there's also a website as well. But the theory behind that is, if you ever heard of something like Foursquare, when you go to a restaurant or location, you can check in and you can meet people there or right. that kind of a thing. So it, you know, some people say, well, it tracks you. But anyway, you check in at certain places. And what's nice about some of the features is you can get coupons or different deals or something like that. So Get Glue kind of has a different take on it, but you can check in as you watch TV shows, movies, listen to certain bands, that kind of a thing. So that's what Get Glue is. And John has a really great podcast. It's called The Sticker Cast. And it talks all about Get Glue, about all the different kinds of stickers that you can collect. And what's nice is, for instance, we, when we go see movies, like what was the last one we saw?
Hugo.
Hugo. Okay, we saw Hugo with 9 other people in the theater. And when we checked in, because we saw it early on, I think it was the first week, you not only get a sticker for Hugo, but sometimes if you go the first week or the first day, there's another ticket as well. So John and his cool podcast, his Sticker Cast, can tell you about all that kind of stuff. And we're going to give you a link to his show. And I appreciate you calling, John. And I really want to support what he does on his podcast as well. So I'm going to close this.
Nice.
And then we'll play the next.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Karen from Maryland. I'm really enjoying the podcast. Something occurred to me after last night's episode. If David and James are twins, are David and James twins in Storybrook as well as the alternate universe? What do you think about that? Love to hear your opinion on the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely.
It's a great question. Do you have any?
I actually did kind of wonder that. At first, I was thinking, what if... it's kind of funny that she would bring that up, because when I saw the episode too, I thought, you know, I'm almost wondering now if David is really the brother and is not James at all. Mm-hmm. But then we saw, you know, then that was what I first thought when I first started seeing the episode, when I realized he had a twin. I was like, oh, I wonder if he's maybe not really who we think he is. But at the end, the fact that he remembered, and the fact that he had such strong feelings for Mary Margaret, kind of made me think that he probably is the same. I don't know. Maybe he does have a twin, and we just haven't seen him yet. It's possible, but again, it could also be, you know, the fact that there are two sides of David Nolan.
Well, and I was going to bring this up. I always have the crazy theory, so I'm crazy theories, Jeff.
You do.
I do. Now, could they be kind of a mesh of the two?
That's what I was thinking. It's the dual nature of David Nolan. Because James is, I mean, think about it. When Snow White's with James, he's like, all of a sudden, I guess it's from this, you know, he just killed the dragon, basically. Mm-hmm. He's very protective of his fiance in the carriage, right?
Right.
But then he's very sweet and gentle too. So, I mean, it's kind of that dual nature thing. And again, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see his twin somewhere.
Yep.
Coming up later.
Excellent, excellent question. Thanks again for calling in. We really, really appreciate
it. From Maryland too. That's real close to Maine.
So cool. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Wayne Henderson here from the Packers Fan Podcast, calling in for your Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. What an interesting episode tonight. Kind of like an episode of Lost, with giving us more questions than answers. Because now I'm wondering a couple of things. One, if that guy is not Prince Charming, I guess he's the twin brother, then is there a Prince Charming in Storybrooke anywhere? Or because he died in fairy tale land, does that mean that he does not have a version of himself in this modern cursed land? I'm wondering what is going on here, but the preview at the end, very spoilery, I already am looking forward to next week's episode. Also, of course, we saw Charles Widmore and McCutcheon Whiskey, and remember the last time that we saw some McCutcheon Whiskey on TV? It was not necessarily on Lost. There was an episode of Fringe, you know, I do the Fringe casting podcast, there was an episode of Fringe last season where they went into animated mode, and the two of the stars of the show shared some McCutcheon Whiskey. So Fringe was doing a few Lost shout-outs, but nothing like Once Upon a Time. And I just can't wait to hear what you're thinking about this episode of Once Upon a Time, because I'm a little boggled right now, and I need the help of Jeff and Colleen Roney. And you guys have a great podcast. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Wayne.
Excellent.
And he does do a Fringe casting podcast about Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fringe, I guess. And
no, it's Fringe.
Fringe. But check out Fringe Casting. Wayne mm-hmm. is the host of that. But yeah, I mean, anything to add? We kind of talked about the twin brothers.
We did talk about the twin brothers. So I think that we're good there. But I do love the fact that, yeah, I mean, when we saw him, we were like, oh, it's Charles Widmore. Yeah. So I was like, oh, please don't be evil like Charles Widmore.
Well, let him be good. He kind of was. No,
a little bit. A little bit. But he wasn't like...
I will burn your house and your mother.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't like nearly as evil as Charles Widmore was. Right. I think he was pretty much a bad guy, just like he was. But
He just needed some McCutcheon whiskey.
Apparently, he needed a little bit.
Just
too.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And the McCutcheon was shared between Emma and Mary Margaret, which was kind of funny.
Well, and somebody tweeted, I can't remember who it was, and they said they didn't show Mary Margaret actually drink it.
Oh.
And so it was like, thanks for, you know, giving teachers a good name. Because it was like almost up to her mouth, and then they panned over to the door.
Well, the assumption is she drank it.
Well, we didn't see it.
We didn't see it.
See, kids, you know, see, teachers don't drink, kids. Look at that.
That's fun.
That nice little sister who's not really a sister, but she said she was a sister in the pre-Once Upon a Time video. I mean, did you know that?
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, she said, I play Sister Mary Margaret Blanchard.
Right.
We have yet to kind of see...
Whether that actually plays itself out. Well, because in the first few episodes, she's wearing a cross around her neck.
Correct.
In this one, she's wearing a key.
I think it's a key... letting people know that she is open for love and she's looking for her destiny.
To someone's heart.
See? That's what I think. Yeah. No. But this is my theory about Mary Margaret is mm-hmm. I think that it was like The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she did go and pursue.
She probably did.
Being a sister. But right. Then something didn't work
being
out.
Being a nun?
Yeah. And she left.
Well, yeah, because if you know The Sound of Music, she was there. She was very earnest in wanting to be it. But then she got sent to be a governess, and she thought that was, you know, she didn't want to do that either. But she was told it was her calling, and so she did it. And then she fell in love with the captain and was traumatized by the fact that she felt so guilty for it. So, yeah, I kind of wonder if that's maybe if we're going to see something of that nature with Mary Margaret. And speaking of the McCutcheon and that. I looked at the goblets that she used. There was like seashells or something on those. So that may come into play later.
Seashells. Very interesting.
Yes.
Seashells are in the ocean.
They are in the ocean indeed.
There's many things in the ocean.
Oh, absolutely. Do we have another voicemail?
And we have one more.
Excellent.
Uno más.
There's not a lot of other characters.
Oh, I need to play from the beginning. Sorry.
Hello, this is Dave from Michigan.
Hey.
Again, just thought I'd call in to say a couple of things, but I don't know how you guys are handling spoilers from the previews for next week. So I want to throw out a spoiler alert in case you guys don't want to be talking about that on the show or if you avoid them yourselves. However, I think that the commercial that we just saw at the end of the episode today shows that he is, that Sheriff Graham is the huntsman, and the trailer said that somebody will die when he tries to reveal the truth. I'm going to throw out a guess that it's going to be him. There's not a lot of other characters that would care who he is are going to be expendable. So we will see. One other thing I wanted to throw out there was a couple of the connection things that I saw in the one pass of watching it today. First was McCutcheon with whiskey. That is awesome. That is from Lost. Mm-hmm. The other thing was in Mr. Gold's shop, there were a handful of things that were, I don't know if they were blatant, but they were obvious to me. Shout outs to Disney movies. For example, Aladdin's lamp. Mm-hmm. In the glass case was the tea set that was Chip and Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast. And I haven't went back to look at the rest of them, but I'm sure that if we go through it a couple of times, you'd find about three or four other movies as well. So just a couple of little things to throw out there. Thanks again for your podcast. Bye.
Now, thank you, man. Thank you for the call.
And by the way, did we not just mention when we watch this again, oh, that teapot, that tea set is going to come into play somewhere. And it did not even.
I kept thinking
Alice in Wonderland, too.
I kept thinking Alice in Wonderland.
Didn't even dawn on me. Yes, that actually would make sense. I didn't even see that the chip. We didn't focus on it, but that's awesome.
That was brilliant because, even though we know that Emily DeRavine is hired.
Emily DeRavine?
That wonderful person.
Yes.
And she's going to be Belle, and Gaston was just
announced.
Cast. So, yeah, I totally missed that.
Didn't even dawn on me. Yeah. And so, but I will point out so that David can go back maybe and look, and he may have caught this by the time we, do this. The other thing we did talk about, there's two things in there. One's probably a stretch, the other one may be closer to what we think. Hanging from the rafters of Mr. Gold's shop is a boat, a little rowboat, it looks very similar to the one that was used in Little Mermaid when Prince Eric takes her through the swampy area and then kisses her in the, the willow grove.
Yep.
That's one thing. Or almost
kisses the girl.
Yeah, almost kisses the girl.
Right.
The other thing I noticed, which they did point out, but this is the only thing that came to my head, was the windmill. The windmill was actually in a Disney store. It was three windmills. And I can't remember the actual name. It may be the three windmills, but I don't think that's right. I think it was something... it's driving me nuts. But if you go to Disneyland and you take the Storybook Canal ride... they talk about the patchwork quilt, and then they take you around the corner, and there's the three windmills. And the animals, I guess it flooded, and so...
I told you the name. I can't remember.
Oh, my gosh, it's killing me. But anyway, the point is that they were the three windmills, and there's only the one left, which would be one that might have been the one that survived. So that's a possibility.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but I told you the name.
It's not Wind in the Willows, honey. That's totally all not right. even. No, that's Wind okay. in the Willows is Mr. Toad. It's a totally different. All right.
Okay.
Not so the anyway, same one. Please. It's not Wind in the Windmill.
I know. Okay. So here's the deal. Two things. One about spoilers is I do not have the time to look through all the different news outlets and all the different places for spoilers. Now, this is what we're going to do. If a sneak peek video is released by ABC, then that is applicable.
Sure. Because it's available to anybody.
Correct.
For anybody
that's
to
right.
see.
But the listener can do whatever you want and read anything. That's fine. But me, I think it's more fun to take only what they release and then start to kind of put things together. That's all. Now, we did mention news of people that were cast as things.
Oh, sure.
So, there's a fine line. But anyway, I think it's more fun to just kind of watch along and kind of put it together.
Right.
So
It does make it interesting. And then I feel like I'm using my imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, but hey, you know what? We try not to give too many spoilers too far in advance because, we're caught up on shows anyway. But anyway.
Right.
You get
it. So another thing, too, is the key is, and I mentioned this on the first podcast episode we ever did, we're not experts.
No.
We don't know what the windmill story is.
No.
I wish we did, but I don't.
Our whole thing is we highlight things that we think are going to potentially come up later and say, hey, remember this? Keep that in the back of your mind. It's going to come up later. And sure enough, these things, we're starting to see that these things are coming up later.
Yeah.
So that's really, look, we love the show. It's a fantastic show. It's beautifully written and it's beautifully acted and filmed and everything. So, I mean, we really do love the show, but yeah, but we don't know everything.
So the bottom line is we are hosting, but we need your help.
Right.
So,
and that's what I love.
That's
what I love about having the call-ins because we do get things. To be truthful, I didn't even catch the McCutcheon reference until I'd seen a Twitter post. And I went, oh my gosh, that's awesome. So, you know, we're not perfect. We miss things. So it's great that you guys contribute. And, you know, like you just said, we're hosting, but you guys are also helping us contribute to this. So we love having our listeners give us information, their insight, and it's a good chance for us to kind of dialogue.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know what you're headed to next, but I just wanted to tell you that while we were going through some of the voicemails, I started thinking about there's a legend, shall we say, of Saint George and the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this dragon was basically terrorizing this town. And so the only way to appease the dragon was they'd feed it 2 sheep every day.
Hmm.
And when that failed, they had to start giving it their kids. So then they eventually came upon St. George, who essentially wounded the dragon. Oh, they put the king's daughter out on the lake dressed as a bride to give it, you know, as a sacrifice. And so George basically wounded the dragon and told her to put her scarf or something around the neck. And he led it back to the town and told everyone if they converted to Christianity that he would slay the dragon. And that's what happened, basically. Okay. So he is considered the patron saint of England. Just kind of a little tidbit.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
And I kept thinking to myself, when you said the name of James's father was, the adopted father was George, I went, George Dragon, and I know there's a story, and I had to kind of look it up a little bit, but but isn't that interesting? I wonder if they know that story or they pull it from wherever they pulled it from.
I think they have fully aware. I think they have researchers that are looking into all that.
Yeah, yeah.
One more little to tie into that. Sorry about the rabbit trails. There are 2 great Toto songs. One is called Hydra and the other is called Saint George and the Dragon. Those are great, great songs.
Well, there you have
it. Way back in the day.
Yeah.
In the album called, wait for it, Hydra.
Nice.
And it's really neat. And I think it was the guitar player has a really cool sword on the cover. I am a geek. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to remind you there's a number of great ways that you can stay connected to the show and get involved. So the first thing is there's a great Facebook fan page. It's at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. There's also our website. It's at onceuponatimepodcast.com. If you want to leave a voicemail, the number is 657-333-0626. Our email is oncepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. It's @OUAT podcast. Thanks for listening and let's stay connected. On with the show. Let's talk about right now we're 41 minutes and I'm going to try and keep these to an hour, but it's just so much fun. You just talk and I love the voicemails and gosh.
Yeah.
So I think that Rumpelstiltskin and possibly Mr. Gold and Regina are kind of, to me, I saw Regina in what I consider to be popping in and out of places, when David Nolan is walking down the street, she just kind of appears there. And Rumpelstiltskin kind of appears in the war council room, because that was the war council table that they had the had the head of the dragon on there.
Okay.
So that I believe that they are both playing, in lost sense to me, Jacob and
the Man in Black.
Because they're nudging people in a certain direction. They're causing them to do certain things. And this whole idea, I believe that somehow that windmill was traded, and I think it was traded for Catherine, because they understand the power that Prince Charming or David Nolan getting together with Mary Margaret Blanchard and then remembering has. So, you know, even though Emma is there,
right,
and whether they know or don't know that she's an actual threat.
You mean Mr. Gold and Regina? I think they know exactly who she is.
Okay.
But so, here's the thing. Remember, I think Rumpelstiltskin wants her there. I think he's going to do whatever he can to help her figure out what's going on.
Well,
without tipping his hand too much, because again, he's a very clever, clever little man.
I didn't bring this up in the last show. It's just the same situation we have now. We're running out of time. But Mr. Gold said specifically to Emma, I want you on my side.
Right.
So once he said my side, I went, okay, there's two sides.
Absolutely.
And the sides are gathering. So,
right.
So when she made a deal with him, I think that was kind of what he was thinking is, well, now you're on my side. So, win.
Possibly. Oh, big win. But, yeah, no, I think you're right. And the funny thing is that we have this visual, this vision of Rumpelstiltskin and Mr. Gold, and they seem like they're not very good guys. But is he really a bad guy? It kind of comes back to, remember how on Lost, Ben kept saying that we're the good guys, we're the good guys, we're the good guys. I know you don't think we are, but we really are. So I kind of almost wonder if Rumpelstiltskin is a good guy, and he kind of knows exactly what's going on. I mean, they paint him out, make him look like he's the devil, and he's evil, and he's awful and horrible, but really? Because if Cinderella hadn't gone to the ball, if she had taken the wand, what would she have done with it?
Good point.
You know? And if he hadn't brokered the adoption for Henry, where would they all be?
True. So he almost kind of nudged this whole situation together.
He does things that don't seem to be for good purposes, but it turns itself out really nicely at the end when you think about it.
Well, he's kind of coming off scot-free anyway, because remember he told the evil queen, okay, so this dark curse is coming. Great, cool. I'll tell you how to do it. Now, when I'm there, I want to live a life of, you know, luxury and money. And if you want something, I can just say, please, no, and you go away. So, anyway.
All I have to do is say, please, and you have to do whatever I ask, right? But how is that really, I mean, he hasn't asked much of her yet. Leave Emma alone, basically.
Yeah, but she was kind of heading in the pilot, or the second episode, where she wanted to know, you know, what he knew about Emma, I believe. And he said, I need to go. He said, tell me what you know. He said, I need to go, please. And so, there you go.
So that's what I'm saying is, I still think he's orchestrating stuff that appears on the surface to be very evil, bad, and kind of like, whoa, creepy, creepy.
Well, okay.
But he's really doing it for the good of everything.
Maybe he did something bad previously, and maybe he's paying for it now. Maybe. This is his redemption, in a way, perhaps.
Possibly.
Ben is an interesting correlation between the mm-hmm, two. Mm-hmm. I would also say Sawyer. I was watching a special about kind of an overview of Lost, and I remember Sawyer used to kind of have all the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And if you wanted something, you came to him.
And you had to give him something worthwhile in return.
Right. So it kind of reminds me of Mr. Gold's Pawn Shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting that Regina pretty much won't kind of step in unless somebody's getting too close to, you know, where we need to be to kind of set up the final, you know, battle and all this kind of stuff. So the closer that David gets to Mary Margaret, you know, she steps in and says, you know, stay away from him.
You don't belong with him, which is what, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Evil Queen say that to Mary, or to Snow White?
I
recall that being said very distinctly, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe one of our listeners can correct us, but I think in one of the early episodes, if not the pilot, she made a comment about you don't belong together.
I don't recall. Doesn't mean it maybe didn't happen, but
well,
anyway.
No, I know. And like I said, I could be remembering it wrong. But anyway. So
let's talk about the windmill. I think it was a bit of like they used to use coins to hypnotize people. And I think the windmill, when it was spun, had some type of a power to remind him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Almost dehypnotizing him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the funny thing is, think about it. Would he have remembered if the windmill was sitting right there in the front lawn?
Well,
and the fact that it wasn't there anymore and that it ended up in Mr. Gold's pawn shop and that he said, oh, that's been collecting dust for forever.
Hmm.
That was an interesting little, and the way he said it.
And did you also notice that he actually, in a way, was drawn to the mobile?
Oh yeah, the unicorn mobile.
But that didn't click anything. The windmill did.
The windmill did.
So,
but remember, the windmill clicked for David. The mobile would click for James, not David.
But he was drawn to it.
He was drawn to it, and there's no question about that.
I mean, if you watch the episode, you can play a drinking game, and I'm talking about water, orange juice here. So, if you hear choice,
a little McCutcheon,
if you maybe if you're old enough and you can handle, but if you hear choice, choose, chosen,
yeah,
take a drink of water.
Although this particular episode, I lost track of how many times somebody, typically Regina or Mr. Gold or Rumpelstiltskin, used the word deer,
right.
Right. Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, Rumpelstiltskin actually did me a church lady. Dear, 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 oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. You know,
yeah,
I mean, that
bit.
Was, yeah.
It was very funny. He was very animated and dramatic in this episode.
Yeah.
That guy is brilliant, by
He's
the way.
He's a great actor.
He is amazing.
The cast is great. But
yeah, they are.
Yeah. So, all right. So we've saved the big barn burner till the end. Now let's talk about the unrequited. Is that the right word?
Unrequited.
Unrequited love.
Mm-hmm.
The almost.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's really not unrequited though.
Well, okay. What's the right word?
It's really star-crossed lovers.
Well, okay. A love that almost was, but
unrequited.
Was not.
Unrequited means it's not returned. So it's one-sided. This is dual-sided.
Okay.
So it's star-crossed lovers. They are in love, but fate does not allow them to get together.
Okay. So Twitter kind of exploded.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the first showing of this episode, right around in California time, what it was like, I don't know. Anyway, just. Oh, I just, you know, I can't believe it. I thought he would choose you.
3 hours before the original show.
I mean, Twitter was just on fire.
Oh, yeah. And at one point, I think Jennifer Goodwin even said, you know, no spoilers for West Coasters or whatever it was. They kept saying no spoilers. And it's true. That's the tough part is, you know, being, you know, on different coasts. I know that the East Coasters really want to, you know, express what's going on. It's really hard to not do that. So I tend not to look at Twitter on show night.
I can't.
Because otherwise I see spoilers. I'm like, oh, crap. I don't want to know because I want to be surprised. So I purposely don't. But anyway.
So Jennifer Goodwin is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the way she played in that role, in that scene,
mm-hmm.
was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was heartbreaking.
It was. But here's the thing. This is the worst part of this. This is the part I love and the part I frustrates me. So it's kind of like watching Titanic. You kind of know how it's going to turn out.
Well,
do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You don't know the details along the way, but you kind of know how it's going to turn out. And that's the part. It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking on the one hand, but then you go, nope, you know they're going to end up together. Somehow they're going to end up together.
Well, okay. Let me explain it this way. It's, to me, a writer, love means more when it goes through some rough times. And I think that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, yeah.
So this, kind of like I was saying in the last podcast episode, is that his little kind of in love mode was very cute and endearing. Mm-hmm. It was kind of sweet.
Yeah, right? It was very sweet.
So we had a little bit of that at the beginning. And, you know, it's interesting that she would say, you know, he keeps coming at me. I don't know how I got it. And he's wearing her down.
Right.
And he comes to the school, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. And she says, look, you know, I'm trying to do the right thing here and all this. And then at the end, it flips. And that scene where he pulls back and says, I'm going to go back with the wife. Not only has that probably happened millions, billions of times
right.
on this planet,
mm-hmm.
but and also millions of songs have probably been written about that situation.
Yeah.
But kind of like what you said, but I took 10 minutes to say it, is that when they do end up together, I think it's going to be much more powerful.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I just want to say this. Storybrooke, Maine is where there are no happy endings.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I know hearts broke all over Twitter. I get that.
Yeah.
Totally understand.
Oh, yeah.
But just.
Well, and think about it. Let's think this through for half a second. If, in fact, he did run away with her right now, what are they going to do for season two?
Right. Right.
Or three or four. If you guys think that they're going to get together anytime soon, I'd be surprised if they do. Because let's face facts. We don't even know how it was that he got out of the engagement with Abigail, how James got out of the engagement with Abigail in Fairy Tale World in order so that he could marry Snow White. Right?
Right.
He didn't break up with her that day. He was intending to propose to her, give her his mother's ring. Hello?
Yeah.
So we have no idea what transpired between them and what caused them to either get, and who knows, maybe he did marry Abigail and maybe she died or maybe she left him. Who knows? We don't know what the writers have planned. So that's why I'm not upset. I mean, I felt so badly for Mary Margaret. I did. I felt really badly for her because here she's like all excited and then it's totally like not there. Well, but again, I'm not devastated because I know what the ending of the story is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're almost there. We've got five more minutes. I just want to say this, that I'm blown away by all the blog comments and all the Facebook fan page comments.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get to them. I can't read them. I can't. I wish I could, but I just, you know, I don't want these shows to go too long. So what I would ask is please go to our Facebook fan page,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have a link on there. And I think it's in the little audio blurb that we play as well. But go there. Check them out. We have some great, awesome people that post some incredible things there, great comments and all this. Go check that out. Check out the blog.
I was going to say, the blog is where?
Is it posted out
on our website or is it on your website?
The blog is, I will post a link because I don't want to say it right now because I don't remember exactly. Okay. I gave it a
address, bottom line is we have the website, right?
Right.
So people can go there.
Yep.
We've got these things on iTunes.
Yep.
And people can comment and review on iTunes.
They can rate and review on iTunes.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Facebook fan page. So, yeah.
Right. But it's just, I don't want these to go, you know, longer than an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
And we do read the comments. We
absolutely
do read the tweets. We do read the comments. We do read the emails. And Jeff gets them usually before I do. We do check them out and we do appreciate them a lot.
So, okay. We'll end with this. And based on what we discussed before and the cool voicemail, mm-hmm, is we do find that Sheriff Graham looks to be the huntsman.
Yep.
And what's interesting is they do kind of show that he sees very much like Lost, his other past in the fairy tale land. And it's a really cool shot of Snow White with the apple and all that kind of stuff. But I'm enjoying this show more now. And one last thing is the ratings dropped. You know, it's against football.
Right.
That's kind of tough. But I mean, I'm kind of amazed that we had, you know, 11 million the first week. And then it's dropping. So a bunch of guys were watching Once Upon a Time and then started watching football.
That is the case. I think that is possibly the case because I don't remember there being a football game on premiere night.
Okay.
So I think that's the case.
Well, because ABC is using this show to really kind of attract women to this Sunday night time slot.
Well, you'd be amazed how many women love football. I know a number of women who are really into football. I mean, like, obsessively into football. And I'm like, I could not care less.
Okay, ladies with Nielsen boxes, listen to me. DVR football.
Yeah. And you can't do that, though. Honestly.
You can do anything you want. Well, this is America.
I know.
DVR football. Anyway. And then watch Once Upon a Time and just keep hitting the button. Yes, I'm still watching. Yes, I'm still watching. Yes, I'm still watching. We got to keep this show on the air.
We absolutely need to. That's just, there's no question. I would hope that the powers that be at ABC would potentially consider moving this show to a different night, not up against football and not up against some other powerhouse show. There's got to be, I mean, Tuesday night, what's on Tuesday nights, man?
I don't know.
See?
Probably someone will say, my favorite show in the world.
Yeah.
See? Crocheting today. I don't know.
You and I don't have much to watch on Tuesday night, so I think they should move it to Tuesday. That's just my take.
All right. So I'm going to leave this small thing with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
And
just call in.
Keep giving us feedback. We really appreciate it. And we are working on some fantastic something that I can't even say, but it is going to be monumental.
Yep.
Is going to happen in a few days.
Yeah.
And you will hear it for yourself. It's amazing.
Yes.
But I can't say what it's going to be.
No.
So, but it is amazing. So anyway, and if it doesn't happen, I don't know.
I might have to remind.
Okay, you do that. So anyway, we're gonna end the show now. Thanks again, and we will be back. But please check in with the Twitter feed and the Facebook feed. I post things all the time, little screen captures of this and that. I had all the seven dwarves, all their names. I had the picture of all the war council. So there's certain things that I really kind of bring out that are really cool little Easter eggs, mm-hmm, that'll make you want to rewatch, just like listening to the show. So tell your friends, please subscribe to this podcast. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yep.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.